Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Caroline's here today.
It's good to see you.
It's good to have you here with us today, Caroline.
Happy to be back.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ian's here today. Hey!
Yay!
What up? What up?
Everybody decided to show
working
up for work.
The band? Okay, well, it's not like I was not working the past 2 days.
You were sick Monday. Ian was sick on yesterday.
It's that time of the year.
I mean, you know, you guys.
But
you
we feel better. Thanks for asking.
Your, yeah, you know, I mean. It's, all right. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's get to this. Starting off with an opening question, which is this season, the Titans have played a handful of good teams and a handful of bad teams. And I think it is overtly simplistic to just say that the Titans have lost to all the good teams and they've beaten almost all the bad teams. I think it's fair, though. They lost to the Giants. They lost to the Bills. They lost to the Chiefs. And they lost to the Bengals. And we can go over each one of those losses. And every loss, it's like the Ryan Tannehill interceptions from last year. They all have a different story. If you want to excuse it, you may excuse it however you'd like. But the reality is, when the Titans play the Raiders or the Colts or the Broncos or the Texans, they win. When the Titans play the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, the Giants, they lose. Anybody have any problem with that take?
Nope.
Okay. That is the opposite of how the Titans have been run for the last handful of years. And I wonder, going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, the best team in the NFL record-wise, number three, as far as the FanDuel Sportsbook app is concerned, in terms of winning the Super Bowl, is the Mike Vrabel special dead? This is not what we're used to with the Titans. We are used to the, hey, they'll beat Kansas City and then lose to the Texans. Not, they'll beat the Texans and then lose to Kansas City. Not, they'll beat the Broncos or the crummy Packers, and then they'll turn around and lose to the Bengals, who are actually a good team. This is almost like a generic year, like the Titans are a regular team. So I ask everybody, is the Mike Vrabel special dead? Who wants to go first?
I will.
Go.
No.
Why? There's no proof of the Vrabel special this season.
Well, Buffalo, is the season over?
But I would agree. It's not over. There's two chances.
It would be so Vrabel special to go on the road at Philly and beat the Eagles and then, like, lose to the Jags.
That is who they play next week.
So if that happens, that is 100% the picture perfect by definition of Vrabel special.
But this is the only week that's left to do this because even...
Well, it could still happen.
Playing the Cowboys at home on that Thursday night, but it's not really a Thursday night because they play on a Saturday for Christmas Eve. So instead of the 3 days in between games, it's 4 days in between games. So that Dallas game is not really technically a Thursday night, but those are the only two good teams left. Chargers,
Nah, that's not a Vrabel special.
Yeah, no. Chargers, nobody believes in the Chargers anymore, so they're out. So the only possible Vrabel special that's left is this game. That, and if you want to count the Cowboys, I don't count the Cowboys because it's at home. And because most people don't believe in the Cowboys, even though I do believe in the Cowboys, which I almost have to go take a shower for thinking that, because my entire adult life I have been trained to never believe in the Cowboys. I've never thought the Cowboys were contenders. Now I think the Cowboys are legit contenders, but this is not a Cowboy show. So back to the Titans.
Every other show in America is.
So you're banking on this. Do you think the Titans are going to win?
I wouldn't be surprised. No, I'll give my official pick at the end of the show.
No, that's the rule.
But I would not be surprised.
Ian, is the Mike Vrabel special as we know it, is it dead?
Like for good?
For this season.
For this season?
Or maybe for good.
I can't go for good, right? But I'm skeptical it will see one this season.
I mean, part of the thing that gets me, too, is it's not just... Like, the Vrabel special is about the winning. We know that. It's the winning against the teams that nobody thinks you can beat.
That's the fun part of the Vrabel special.
But it's also the losing.
Yeah.
And other than the Giants game, and that we didn't know that the Giants were good, other than the Giants game, they haven't lost a single game to a bad team. And if the Vrabel special existed still, then would it not have been perfect for them to lose to that Giants team that everybody thought was bad, that actually technically is good, and then turn around and beat the Bills the next week? But they didn't. They got smoked by the Bills, which is what everybody was expecting.
But can you expect a Vrabel special? Isn't that what makes it a Vrabel special?
I mean, haven't we gotten to the point of where we've expected the Vrabel special and it's worked in the past?
Yeah. But I guess going into this weekend, you know, if we want to call it a Vrabel special, if the Titans don't beat the Eagles this weekend, then yes, I would say the Vrabel special is dead for this season, not for good. But I'm not counting it out.
Because they do, again, you know, they do play the Cowboys. And so,
but like beating the Cowboys to me isn't like, oh my gosh, how in the world did the Titans pull this off? And I feel like that's what the Vrabel special is.
Who do you think's better team right now, Eagles or Cowboys?
Honestly, the Cowboys.
Ian, who do you think's better team, Eagles or Cowboys?
That is a good question. I'm going to lean, I think I might lean slightly Eagles.
Okay, majority rules, Cowboys. I mean, I'm not a huge Eagle believer. Like, when we talk about the Vrabel special, I kind of even wonder if this game qualifies as a Mike Vrabel special game.
The AJ thing on the road at Philly, they're the best team in the NFL, top seed in the NFC, total Vrabel special.
So the AJ thing is more just like overall gossip and drama.
But that adds to it. It's a little extra zhuzh.
I know, but the Titans usually avoid those things. So it's actually been refreshing that the Titans have had a week where we get to enjoy some of that. But as far as, like, the Vrabel special, the Vrabel special is, by definition, and I'm allowed to make this up right now because I'm the one who made up the Vrabel special.
You're like the College Football Playoff Committee. You can make up your own rules and break
Boo
your own
Corrigan.
Rules.
So here's the Vrabel special. The Vrabel special is a game in which the Titans absolutely have no business winning on paper or absolutely have no business losing, and the actual exact result of what happens. Had the Titans, let's just say, on that last drive, and this didn't happen, but let's just say, on the last drive of the Kansas City game in regulation, Patrick Mahomes fumbles the ball on that 19-yard scramble, and the Titans pick it up, and Derrick Henry runs for a first down, and they kneel out the clock, total Vrabel special. Double-digit underdogs on the road, Sunday night football.
Backup
quarterback. No one thinks they're going to win. Bum quarterback in there, and the Titans gut it through, and the defense stands up, and it's like, how are they going to stop Travis Kelce? And they do. You know, that is a Vrabel special to a T. The Titans are 4.5-point dogs. They were 5.5 yesterday. They're 4.5-point dogs. It's not like they're 18-point dogs going up against the Eagles. And that number, again, that 4.5, I'm stunned by. I mean, normally I feel like Vegas doesn't respect the Titans. This, I think they might be giving the Titans too much of credit. I thought the line was going to be like 8.
I'm going to probably be fair.
So 4.5, right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, I'm actually kind of shocked by. So then does this game even qualify as a Mike Vrabel special? Because the one thing that I'm not hearing, and this game isn't getting a lot of coverage, and I understand why, because it's a noon kickoff on Fox, whereas the big game is Kansas City and Cincinnati, and that should be the big game, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Miami and San Francisco, I think, has a little juice to it. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good game. And so the Titans game is kind of like the third game of importance, and so it gets a little talk, but not a lot of talk. But it's not like people are thinking, oh, Philadelphia is just so good, and Tennessee, who lost last week to Cincinnati, they're phonies, they're frauds, they have no shot. Philadelphia is too good, they're going to blow the Titans out. Nobody's saying that. The Vegas line is not saying that. Maybe it's not even that big of an upset if the Titans were to go up there and win. I mean, think about this. 3 points is home field. The Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite, which means that Vegas thinks that the Eagles are 1.5 points better than the Titans. So maybe it's not even a Mike Vrabel special game to begin with.
But what if the Titans turn around and lose to the Jags?
Oh, that's a Vrabel special because that Jags team stinks.
Because a Vrabel special has two parts.
It does, but sometimes they're like different in the season. It's not exactly the immediate next week. Now, that did happen.
But it would make sense.
Sure. Oh,
best team in the NFC and then lose to one of the worst teams in the AFC.
But the only other opportunities for Vrabel specials this year have not come to pass. They beat the Texans, went on the road, they lost to Kansas City. I mean, every single one of these games, Washington and Green Bay are a little different because it would not have been an unmitigated shocking disaster for the Titans to have lost those games, even though in hindsight, Green Bay kind of sucks. Like, there, it wouldn't have been, if they had lost it, we wouldn't have been like, team sucks, you know, just like how we weren't like, team sucks after they lost to the Bengals.
Right.
But, like, Texans, yes. Broncos, yes. Yeah. Raiders, no at the time, but yes.
Commanders, yes at the time, kind of no now.
Oh, boy, that team stunk at the time.
But I'll ask you this. Is it the worst thing if the Vrabel special is dead? Because I wouldn't mind if the losing to the Texans every single year, the Texans, the Jags, a bad team, I wouldn't mind if that was no longer a thing.
So that the Titans just every year beat the teams that they should beat.
And lose and to the teams that they teams. Should lose to.
I just don't know if they can win a Super Bowl doing that, especially with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. I just don't think that they can. And I think ultimately at some point the head coach is going to have to carry the team through, you know, uninspiring odds, to a victory where everybody after the fact says, ha, those Titans, I don't know how they do it, but somehow, some way, those Titans did it. That's what they're going to have. And I'm going to say this. Again, I invented it so I get to do this. This win would be a Vrabel special. Because, again, I think the numbers should be, and I'm not saying the Titans are going to lose, but I think the numbers should be Philadelphia minus 8, not Philadelphia minus 4.5. So Vegas can say that. Just like I thought that 2-touchdown spread against the Chiefs was crazy.
That was ridiculous.
I'm going to say that if they win this game, it's a Vrabel special. Even though there isn't any star player that's injured, there isn't any one group of players that is totally decimated, like the 2018 Texans game, where the Titans were taking on one of the top pass rushes in the NFL without any starting tackles, or last year's San Francisco game where Dylan Raidens had to play left tackle and it was almost an unmitigated disaster. It may not be as like one-sided as that, but I'm going to say that because the Eagles are the best team in the NFL by record, regardless of the fact that nobody out there thinks that the Eagles are actually the best team in the NFL, this game would qualify as a Vrabel special. So if the Vrabel special still exists, they have to win this game this week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. That's how we're starting. 615-737-1025. If you believe in the Vrabel special, one, do you still believe? Two, is it dead? Three, why is it dead? Why have they not beaten any of these good teams this year? And then coming up next, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer in knowing who knows. TD knows. There is nobody who knows more about the Philadelphia Eagles in Nashville, Tennessee than Teron Davenport does. And TD says the Titans have a legitimate chance to beat the Eagles. He'll explain why next. Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. Caroline, tell us about the Caesars Sportsbook app.
It is time for the Caesars Sportsbook Report. Now, your first bet with the Caesars Sportsbook app, it is on Caesars up to $1,250. Just sign up using the promo code RADIOFULL, one word, RADIOFULL, and then place your first bet. And if you win, that money is all yours. Go have fun with it. But if not, don't worry about it, because you'll get that stake back as a free bet. We've got a Pac-12 championship tonight. This is the most important, in my opinion, conference championship going on this weekend. Give me Utah plus 3, but USC to win. Utah is a really good team, but it's hard to beat a team twice. And this is going to be like a 2 or 3 point game. Open to users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a credit. Must use within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook, you bet, you get.
Do the Titans have a chance against the Eagles on Sunday?
They absolutely have a chance. I mean, Jordan Davis is probably going to play, but they went out and they signed Linval Joseph. They signed Ndamukong Suh. So the run defense has got shored up a little bit, but you could run the football against them. Go back and watch the Texans game. Watch the Washington game. The Washington game is the one to watch. Brian Robinson grinded them out. And if you could keep that game close and run the football, I think you can beat them.
Okay, TD says the Titans absolutely have a chance on Sunday at Philadelphia. Nobody knows more about the Eagles, in my opinion, in Nashville than TD. It's like nobody in the Nashville media knows more about the Louisville Cardinals than I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's TD's spot. It's TD's people. That's TD's team. Although, like, you know, TD's not, like, a fan of the Eagles. But TD literally...
But he covered the Eagles for so long.
He wrote the book on Carson Wentz. Yeah. Literally wrote the book. You can go to Amazon and buy a book written by TD about Carson Wentz.
It's a very niche little area that TD has there.
Hey.
Eagles and Titans expert.
TD's got it figured out. TD says absolutely they have a chance. And again, Vegas is saying the same thing. I mean, I'm a little surprised that you guys aren't as shocked as I am that this game's a 4.5-point spread.
I am shocked. I figured it would be at least 6.5. But again, I mean, I would not be surprised if the Titans pulled out a win. And I do wonder, did the spread open at 4.5?
I think it opened at 5.5.
That makes sense. Because
so
I think
more
that
money's coming in on the Titans.
People just hammered the Titans.
Why?
I don't think people believe in the Eagles.
I mean, I'll put it to you like this. I don't necessarily believe in the Eagles either. But the Eagles are fourth in the league in total offense, third in scoring points. They're second in the league in total defense, ninth in scoring points. They've got, I mean, they had that one hiccup against Washington in which, honestly, they didn't play well and AJ didn't play well. I mean, TD's talking about how you can run the football on them. They're 18th in the league at stopping the run. That's not bad.
But they're like sixth worst in the league in yards per carry defensively.
They are 23rd, which would be
ninth
worst.
Yeah.
So, it's not like the Titans are running the ball very well lately.
No, but also...
And did you see the secret weapon is out Sunday?
Cody Hollister.
Cody Hollister is out
no!
on Sunday.
Who's going to block?
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Todd Downing, I mean, they must have had like a top secret meeting inside the Situation Room in there. You know, kind of like a vault. And Todd Downing probably cried and said that he thought that last week was tough on him. This week's going to be way tougher because they don't have Cody Hollister. So I don't, I mean, how are they going to run the ball?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. But more importantly, I mean, this is what I think about the Titans against good teams. And the Eagles are a good team. And the Eagles have a good defense. I used to play Madden football. As a kid. I mean, I religiously played Madden football. And then kind of as like the PlayStation 3 got phased out and the PlayStation 4 came in, I really didn't play video games much anymore. But I used to always hit the square button and I'd ask Madden what play to run on offense. And then if I didn't like Madden's play, then I would just go with whatever play I wanted to go with. But I hit it so much that I kind of got used to what Madden would say when I would hit the button.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the things that Madden would say is, sometimes to set up the pass, you got to use the run. But sometimes you could set up the run by using the pass. And so I look
at
the Titans.
That's the most vague statement ever.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, like a PlayStation 2, there's only so many things you could stick in there that John could say. Before, you know, you play like two games and all of a sudden it's the same thing over and over again. You know, I get still burned into my memory how if you run with Steve McNair in Madden 2001, had Dante Culpepper on the cover, if you would run with Steve McNair, every time after the play was over, you'd hear Pat Summerall go, "What do you think of Steve McNair, John?" And then Madden would talk about how he's like a good running quarterback. And it was the same every time. But, you know, it was a different era. So, anywho, my point being is that in order to run the ball on the Eagles, I almost feel like the Titans are going to have to use the pass to set up the run. Because every team in the league knows the Titans are trying to run the ball. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, since the Kansas City game, every team in the league has stopped the Titans running the ball. You know, it's been one thing to sit there and say, you know, hey, everybody knows we're going to run it, but damn it, we're going to show you and we're going to run it and we're going to play bully ball and we're going to, which is how the Titans want to operate. But the reality of what has happened is they really haven't been able to do that.
But now, it's like the Packer game. Derrick Henry didn't get anything going. He had 80-something yards against the Packers.
Derrick had an okay game against the Packers. You know, like the run was effective against the Packers.
It wasn't a 150-yard Derrick game, but it wasn't like Derrick Henry got stuffed at the line of scrimmage on every single down.
So, two thoughts on that. The first thought is the Eagles are much better than the Packers.
True.
Defensively, especially. And secondly, Derek was effective enough to set up the pass in the Packers game. I don't know if Derek's running performance against the Packers would be good enough to set up the pass against the Eagles.
That's fair.
So then the pass, again, has to set up the run in order for them to run it. But Dingus calling the plays, is going to run in there, you know, Jeff Swaim on every time that they're going to try to run it, because I know how they operate. I know how Todd Downing operates, that he's sitting there and he's like, as obvious as it may be, that the Eagles' weakness apparently is yards per carry and the Titans are going to have to run the ball, and everybody on the planet knows they're going to have to run the ball, and they just signed Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, and Jordan Davis is probably going to play. Mm-hmm. And so the Eagles are going to load that box just like Cincinnati did. Todd Downing's going to stick Jeff Swaim right back out there on the field on first down. Vrabel on his coach's show, his key offensively was to stay on schedule, which means, you know, second and six instead of second and nine. Mm-hmm. Well, if everybody knows you're going to run it and you run it, you have the best back on the planet, and it doesn't matter because everybody knows what you're going to do. And so then you have to say, okay, well, you know, is Downing going to use the pass to set up the run? Most important play of the Green Bay game. Most important play of the Green Bay game. First third down they faced, they chucked the ball down the field to Treylon Burks. Because now Green Bay's like, oh, crap, they just threw the ball deep. That set up the run for the whole rest of the game. And every time they needed a big throw, Tannehill hit it. Against Cincinnati, they really didn't do any of that.
No.
And so they hit the one throw down the field, and they got the roughing the passer. And then Todd Downing just brought the big boys back in there. And Cincinnati knew what they were doing. And because Cincinnati on the defensive line is much better than the Packers, and the Eagles are more like Cincinnati than they are like the Packers, the Titans ended up kicking a field goal. So, I mean, I hear you, but TD's right. He says they absolutely have a chance. It just doesn't seem like I have faith in where that chance would come from because of why I feel like the running game has been slowed down as much lately. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What do we have?
David in Arkansas checks in and says, should we really ask ourselves if or why the Vrabel special is dead? It's because of Downing. It all goes back to him. Vrabel can get these guys ready, but if his own OC isn't performing well, it's going to look bad on everyone. I believe that the Vrabel special is still there. It's just got to coach better, as Vrabel says.
Okay, so the Titans are a 7-4 football team, and every single person in town hates Todd Downing.
Yes.
And I am certainly in that group. It's actually funny, you know, we kind of asked Coach Shoup about this on Tuesday, and then I kind of asked TD about this yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, like the snap counts and the why does Treylon Burks play 67% of the snaps when AJ under Arthur Smith as a rookie was playing 90% of the snaps, and nobody really has an answer. I mean, even Bob Shoup, in like the most roundabout, non-direct way of criticizing Todd Downing, talked about how perhaps the Titans should have used, you know, they should have spread out the formations and put some faster people on the field and kind of run the RPOs.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And I thought that was a pretty big criticism, but it was just padded perfectly by Coach Shoup. Even TD, when I was asking him yesterday, he was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a, you know. And so no one really knows why Todd Downing does this. But if Todd Downing were Arthur Smith, would their record be better than 7-4? And I only ask because when I look at the Titans, I see a 7-4 team. You know, most of the playoff contenders in the league are somewhere in that 8-3, 7-4, 6-5 range. And I know that if they had had better play calling, they could have beaten the Giants and they could have beaten the Bengals. And they probably could have beaten the Chiefs, though I thought Downing actually called a really good game against Kansas City. And yet, I think the Titans are a 7-4 team. I think they have a 7-4 quarterback. I think they have a below 7-4 offensive line. I think they have below 7-4 receivers. I think they've got, when healthy, a championship-level defense. But right now, without Danico Autry, it's not a championship-level defense. I think they're about a 7-4 team. So as much as we bang on Downing, and I'm certainly doing a lot of that too, I do wonder, would they be significantly better with Arthur Smith as the coordinator?
I think we'd feel better about it.
I'd feel better about it. But it's just something I was thinking about when you read that text.
I don't think that they beat the Bills if Arthur Smith is calling offensive plays.
No.
But
I don't think they beat the Chiefs either.
Probably not. No, I mean, not with Malik in there. Man. The problem against the Chiefs was not the offensive play calling. It was who was under center. But, I mean, I'd feel much better about this team.
Would they have beaten the Bengals with a better play caller?
Probably.
I don't know, man. It's not the play caller's fault they hit the snapper in the head.
I know, and it's not the play caller's fault that they missed a field goal.
And it's not the play caller's fault that Joe Burrow put that ball right there on that dime to T. Higgins.
That's what Joe Burrow does.
Would they have beaten the Giants with a better play caller?
Probably.
Now remember, the play caller did get them in range to kick the field goal and they missed it.
But don't you think a lot of play callers in this league could get them in field goal range?
I mean, I thought the Titans freaking stunk up that Giants game of their own. I mean, I thought defense stunk it up. I thought special teams stunk it up. I thought the play calling was predictable. I didn't think Downing was terrible in that game. I certainly don't think he was the biggest problem in that game. But I'm going to say no on that one. The one that they could have had with a better play caller is Cincinnati. That's the one. So they could be 8-3 and as opposed to 7-4. Now, look, 8-3 and 7-4,
totally different.
Especially with a win over Cincinnati, who's probably going to win that division, even though their schedule is freaking brutal down the stretch, and Baltimore's is, you know, easy. Baltimore, I just don't think, is very good. And so now, if Cincinnati ends up in that slot, and they probably will, now you lose the tiebreaker to them, now you have to play Buffalo, or Miami, or whoever is the top wild card team there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. This Eagles game represents something that the Titans are running out of chances for. I'll explain what that is. Hey, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, those are my guys. They take fantastic care of my home, and they can do the exact same for you. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays, and they're celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, and they're donating $50 in toys for tots with every tankless water heater purchase. And they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. They have more deals online at happyhiller.com. As always, Happy will be here. The service is free, and these deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
You said yesterday you maybe weren't sure what the not beating the better teams on the schedule meant. I'm just wondering if overnight and kind of with some time to think about it, you have a better sense of that and if it's cause for concern.
I wouldn't say it's a cause for concern, but it is frustrating. Obviously, you go into these games against teams that, you know, they're going to be there in the playoffs and we don't win those ball games. It's frustrating for us, frustrating as a team, because we feel like we're one of those teams as well. We feel like we know that we're a really good team. We feel like we're going to be there in January. So to not beat those teams is disappointing at the time. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's a cause for concern because, you know, more than likely we'll see one of these teams, you know, in January when we get to the playoffs.
There you go, Kevin Byard. I personally am glad this is not college football where we don't look at it as like, oh, who have they beaten? What's their strength of schedule? Although the Titans have by far the lowest strength of victory of any contender in the AFC. So if they were to get to tiebreaker number 4, which is strength of victory, then that would be a legitimate problem.
But if we get to that point, then, I mean,
well, it could be the difference between facing Cincinnati or the Jets in the first round of the playoffs.
Give me the Jets.
Okay. So I bring this up. This is one of the Titans' last chances. This and that Thursday nighter against Dallas right before the new year. These are the two chances to beat a good team. Every other good team the Titans have played, and the Commanders do not count as a good team because they got good as soon as they played the Titans when they switched the quarterback. Other than that, every other good team they have played, the Giants, the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs, they have lost to. As we brought up, there's yet to have been a Vrabel special. If the Titans can't beat the Eagles and the Cowboys, then does that damper our hopes come January for the playoffs? Let me go first. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I struggle with this. I am the biggest Titan fan you will find. I think everybody knows that, right?
Probably so.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, I believed in this team. I did. I mean, I really believed in this team. And right now, I'm like, if you can't beat the Eagles or the Cowboys, and then you're going to end up in the AFC playoffs, and you're probably going to drop Buffalo or Miami in the first round, and then if you get past that, you have to go to Cincinnati or you have to go to Kansas City. And then if you win that, then you have to go to Kansas City or you have to go to Buffalo or you have to go to Cincinnati. No. Well, no shot.
If the Titans can't beat the Eagles or the Cowboys, then I think we know exactly what the Titans are. And that's kind of how I feel about it now. You can beat the bad teams. You can't beat the good teams.
That's so not the Titans, though. That's what is so hard for me to understand. It would be like if I moved to a different city and started doing radio, and then it was like you were to talk to your friend in that city, and you were to say, hey, how's Jared Stillman doing on, you know, ESPN Sheboygan? And they're like,
Softy Bobo.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's just kind of a homer. It's not really interesting. You know, they don't ever say anything flammable at all.
I like, have to take your temperature.
It's just, you'd be like, that's not Jared Stillman. And that's how I feel about the Titans. The Titans have played all these bad teams. They beat them. They played all the good teams, and they've lost to them. And I'm not used to that. Even when this team stunk Vrabel's first year, and I know they were 9-7, but this team kind of stunk Vrabel's first year. It's like, they would beat good teams, and then they go on the road, and this was back when Buffalo was bad. They would lose to Buffalo. And it was like, why? They would beat in 2019, the year they went to the AFC Championship game. They would beat Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. They lost to Joe Flacco. It's so frustrating. They lost to Joe Flacco in 2018 and 2019.
That's bad.
They lost to Joe Flacco in 2018, lost to the Chargers in London, and then turned around, and this was when the Cowboys were good, and the Patriots were the wagon Patriots. Uh-huh. And they went and beat them both and embarrassed the Patriots. And this year, it's like, good team, loss. What do we have at the text line? 615-737-1025.
One texter texts in and says the only way that this offense can go far is if they pass to set up the run. Something Vrabel and Downing are not committed to, unfortunately.
So I don't know why they're not. Because call me nuts about this. Number one, and I don't understand this at all. I need an offensive line guru to be able to tell me. I feel like the Titans' offensive line is a better pass-blocking offensive line than it is a run-blocking offensive line.
I think it comes down to they don't trust something in the passing game. Whether that's they don't trust Tannehill to throw the football, which I don't think is necessarily the case. They don't trust the offensive line to pass block, or they don't trust the pass catchers to catch passes.
But don't
they don't
you
trust
think,
something in the passing game.
But don't you think that they're a better pass-blocking offensive line than they are a run-blocking offensive line right now?
Right now, yes. Traditionally, like if I have to label this offensive line for the season, I would say they're a better run blocking offensive line.
Let me pull through my filing cabinet here.
But like through the last 3 weeks, they've been a better.
I mean, I think they were 1-1 run pass. Like, you know, I want to say that they were 50-50 run pass last week. Now, some of that is, you know, they had a 2-minute drill at the end of the first half. And so you're not going to run Derrick Henry there. Hold on, let me see. Let's go to the back. They had 21 rushes, and they had 34 passes.
Okay.
So they passed the ball more. Here's the thing.
It doesn't feel like Titans offense.
I don't mind the pass catchers they have. Like, this is going to be shocking because all anybody's ever done when it comes to passing the football with this team is complain, especially me last year. But, I mean, I think Treylon Burks is the big play guy as far as wide receiver is concerned.
Or at least has been the past couple of weeks.
He's the only guy that can take the top off the defense. He's the fastest guy they have. Westbrook Akine is second, and Westbrook Akine is more like catch him by surprise, throwing a flea flicker, mm-hmm. than it is more so like he's going to go beat the corner down the field, Tannehill's going to put it up, and he's going to make a play. So Burks is the number one guy in that regard of taking the top off the defense. I think Austin Hooper is a great, great possession move the chains tight end.
Dink and dunk tight end.
Love them. Perfect for the West Coast offense. You know, that which is kind of a, you know, a derivative of what the Titans run. Mm-hmm. That old Bill Walsh, George Seifert, West Coast offense, Mike Holmgren. Like, that is what the Titans run. And I think Hooper's got a great role. I think Downing was too stupid to figure out how to use him at the beginning of the year. I still think Downing is so stupid in the fact that he doesn't use him enough. But I see why Hooper wanted a trade. I get it. You know, again, we don't know if he wanted a trade, for certain. But we know that if ESPN was reporting that Hooper, you know, to keep an eye on Austin Hooper at the trade deadline, we had a pretty good feeling that came from Hooper's people. And I get why Hooper was mad.
And one that you haven't named is Derrick Henry in the passing game.
So I don't really like Derrick Henry in the passing game.
Why?
Because he kind of stinks.
I don't think he stinks.
Oh, he stinks in the passing game.
I don't think he stinks. I mean, he drops some balls he needs to catch.
I mean, Hilliard in the passing game.
Okay.
I like Hilliard.
All right. I like Chig in the passing game.
Well, they don't ever play him.
I know, and I don't know why.
And that's my point is I go back to this. Again, I think the Titans should be a run-first team, and I'm not against that at all. And again, you know, but Clearly, teams are going to take that away. So now the pass has to set up the run. And if you're going to use the pass to set up the run, you have to throw the balls to guys that can catch it and run with it. And Hooper can catch it and run with it. Burks can catch it and run with it. Okonkwo can catch it and run with it. And guess what? They don't play enough. And that seriously drives me freaking bananas. And so I agree. I think wasn't the texture's point that Downing won't do it?
That Downing won't commit to passing to set up the run.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Because trust me, first down and 10, Jeff Swaim's going in the game. I do wonder, I am hopeful, that we can bully them out of playing Jeff Swaim. That's the only hope.
I don't know what their infatuation with Jeff Swaim is, both blocking and as a pass catcher. He can't catch passes. He can't do it. And against the Bengals, when that one play in the first quarter, when Treylon Burks is blocking for Jeff Swaim to catch a pass from Tan, what are you doing? Why is your best wide receiver blocking while your quote-unquote best blocking tight end who can't catch a ball is catching passes?
Trick him.
Oh, good one.
So
Houdini.
Coach Shoup
That's
said
just
to me,
stupid.
Coach Shoup said to me, he's like, if you didn't tell me to watch 87, I would have not noticed 87. And I was like, well, he's like their blocking tight end, they say. He goes, I notice people blocking too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into it. Plus, last night, I thought one thing was proven about the AFC playoffs in that Buffalo New England game. And it's kind of depressing me. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Fireball Sin and Whiskey goes down so smooth that it tastes so great. Everybody wants to have the best holiday party. I know, because you all sit there and post on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and Mastodon and all these other new ones. I don't know. You all post about how much you guys love your holiday parties and your sweater parties and everything else. Don't be the party that doesn't have Fireball. Just let me be honest with everybody out there. Even if you don't love Fireball, and you should, even if you don't love Fireball, don't be the party that doesn't have Fireball. You don't know how many times you'll get to celebrate with the ones you love and enjoy. So be sure to enjoy with Fireball. Enjoy responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball, Sin and Whiskey, Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Bills trying to turn it into a potential three-possession lead. Singletary into the end zone he goes. Touchdown, Buffalo.
The Bills have taken advantage of it. Watch the job here by 71. The guard does a great job of clearing it out. Godchow has no chance. Opens up Spencer Brown, the right tackle, also is able to get up, make a good block, and three times they've come away with touchdowns.
All right. Not really too much to say here. Just obviously just couldn't do enough tonight. Again, give Buffalo credit. They're a good football team. But we just couldn't do enough. So had some opportunities, but just nothing in particular. Just in general, not quite good enough in any area. Red area, offensively, the making plays in the kicking game. So it's about the end of it.
We suck. Patriots are dead. So let me start with this. Did you watch a game last night?
Bits and pieces. I went back and forth between the Preds game and the Thursday night football
game. It was really freaking boring last night.
It was.
I thought that Buffalo-New England, Buffalo-New England on Thursday night football, I was like, all right. And then as I'm watching the game, I was rooting for the Patriots, obviously, because the more losses the Bills have, probably the better for the Titans. So I was rooting for the Patriots, and when they threw that ball to the defensive back and they scored that touchdown to go up, I was like, all right, Patriots. But I knew it probably wasn't going to last long, and it didn't. And I know that Buffalo only won by 14, but they could have won by 30 if they really wanted to. They just, honestly, Buffalo just, I don't even know if Buffalo's playing well right now, but the Patriots suck. And here's my big takeaway from this game. The AFC is now, it's incredibly obvious who are contenders and who are pretenders. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, Kansas City, Buffalo,
Cincinnati,
Miami, Baltimore, and I think there's one more team in there I'm forgetting. Oh, and then there's a battle between the Jets and the Chargers as to, like, who's the last kind of phony team in there. You know, and right now the Jets, I think, are technically ahead of the Chargers. The Chargers have better players, But the Jets, I think, are on more sound operation than the Chargers. But I think just like last year when Pittsburgh was the 17th in and they really weren't legit, I think that's what's happening here. So those six teams, Tennessee, Kansas City, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Buffalo, the Dolphins, and the Ravens. That's it. That's the AFC. And I think that was the one thing that I took away from last night's game. The one thing that came out of last night's game was that's it. New England, not a legitimate AFC team. Just like Indy, you know, when in Indy plays, even though they suck, they'll put them on the in the hunt on the playoff thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're not in the hunt. And New England is technically in the hunt. They're not in the hunt.
No.
Get them out. Goodbye. See you. You stink. Move on. By the way, what a clown show that Patriots team is.
I mean, did you see the Mac Jones and what he was saying to Matt Patricia?
That's where the clown show is.
I mean, the offensive play calling and the whole preseason, you know, not telling who's the offensive coordinator, the play calling itself. I mean, the fact that Mac Jones very clearly hates the play caller. I mean, it's just kind of it's a total mess.
Here's how much of a clown
show
I
feels disorganized.
Think this is. Here's where I use like the phrase clown show and how I think that Mac Jones, Matt Patricia thing adequately like is defined as a clown show. Because the idea that you were going to bring Matt Patricia, a lifelong defensive coach, and Joe Judge, a special teams coach, who's also a bozo, and you were going to bring them in there to run this offense with a second-year quarterback is literally insane. Like, no other team in the league would do it because their owner would say to the coach, no, we're not doing that. If Mike Vrabel were to say, hey, we're going to make Jim Schwartz the offensive coordinator, which is essentially what Bill Belichick's doing, John Robinson and Amy Adams Strunk would say, no, you're not doing that. That is not going to fly here. And Vrabel probably wouldn't do it, even though if there's anybody other than Belichick who thinks, I can do it, it's Vrabel. But also Mac Jones mouthing off on the sidelines like that. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about all the Super Bowls you've won, Mac. I forgot about all the accomplishments you have in the NFL. Like, dude, you're not Brady. You can't go on the sidelines and just, you're not.
Is it about accomplishments, though? I mean, I think anybody can.
I do not think Mac Jones has the standing to be able to go curse out the coaches like that on camera.
I don't think you need to have a Super Bowl MVP or do a ring to be able to say, this isn't working.
I think there's a way to do it, though.
Fair.
And every quarterback, Mac Jones has been the starting quarterback at in a high-profile job for the last 3 years. He knows when the cameras are on. And he knows that when he's on the sidelines, that he knows the cameras are on. So
are
for
you
him,
thinking about, though, in a heated moment in the middle of a game, are you thinking, oh, my, this is going to look bad for my PR?
So Steve Kerr said that when he hit the 97 shot against Utah to win the NBA Finals, that there's like a video that NBA Films has where Michael, they're in a timeout, and Michael turns over to Kerr, and he puts the Gatorade cup over his mouth, and he like whispers something. And Kerr's like, yeah, if they double you, I'll be available there for the shot. And Michael just looks at him, just nods, because Michael knows the camera is always on him. And so Michael Jordan didn't want anybody to know that like his plan was, I'm going to throw out of a double team to Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr is like, yeah, I'll be wide open over there on the double team if they jump, whatever. And because Steve Kerr's
you
not
can sell
thinking,
it.
Steve Kerr's not thinking about the camera.
Right.
Whereas Michael Jordan is like, dude, shut up. And so I do think that those guys think about it like that. Now, when Brady goes off on the sidelines, I think it's because Brady doesn't care. But Brady doesn't have to care because he's Brady. Like when Peyton Manning, have you seen that blow up with him and Jeff Saturday years
yes.
ago? So when Peyton Manning did that, if you go back to that and watch the breakdown of that, it was apparently running off the field that Saturday turned to Manning and said, hey, we need to start running the ball more. Because Peyton would go up to the line with a run and a pass, and he would decide what to run. And so Saturday was mad that they threw three straight passes, and they had to kick a field goal. And so Saturday mouths off to Peyton on his way off the sidelines about needing to run the ball. Peyton sat down and then decided he was still mad, got up, and then went down to the offensive line and yelled at Jeff Saturday. Well, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. So, like, he thought about it, and then he went and did it. Yeah, that is premeditated. Those guys can do it. Even Tannehill has accomplished enough. Like, he's got a strong enough standing that if Tannehill wants to ream somebody out on the sidelines, he's earned it. I don't think Mac Jones has earned the ability to ream his coaches out on national TV. Like, I think that was rich for – and that's why it's a total clown show. because the whole thing's messed up. But I do not think that Mac Jones has earned the right to be able to do that. But I feel bad for him because they're going to ruin his career. I mean, you talk about a freaking clown show, that Patriots offense. So they're done. So
they're done.
Again, and it what matters is who you may play in the wild card round. There's one team in the wild card round that, whether it's the Jets or the Chargers, that I would sign up for today. Because I think we know the Titans aren't getting the one seed, so they're not going to have the bye. So they have to play in the wild card round. And now everybody else is going to make the playoffs. The Ravens are going to make the playoffs. The Dolphins are going to make the playoffs. The Titans are going to make the playoffs. The Bills are going to make the playoffs. They're all going to make it. And so now the question is, do you want either Cincinnati or Baltimore, the loser of Cincinnati and Baltimore, the loser of Miami and Buffalo, or would you rather have the Jets?
Jets, please.
Or would you rather have the Chargers?
Chargers, please.
That's the AFC playoffs. What do you have in the text line? 615-737-1025.
One texter texts in and says, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the league. When you're upset, you're upset.
Yeah, I don't think that's how people view it. You know, baseball's kind of similar with this. And I think also, I think all the sports are similar with this. If you're a rookie and no one knows who you are, don't yell at the refs. If you don't have sway, don't yell at the refs. A.J. Brown on Sunday, if he thinks he's getting held, he can do whatever he wants in front of the refs because he's A.J. Brown and he's been there and done that. If nobody knows who you are, you're a practice squad guy or something, don't screw with the refs. Like in baseball, the way Bryce Harper can treat the umpire about a ball or a strike call, a little bit different than the way the guy that just got called up from the sounds can treat him. And so, again, Mac Jones, I get it. He's a starting quarterback. And this is like when they always say, you know, that you set the example for those that come after you. He knows the last quarterback there used to scream at people on the sidelines. So he knows that that is, but you ain't Brady. And you're not Manning. And I do not think that Mac Jones, and look, I think they're ruining his career.
But there are
and
plenty of other quarterbacks who have yelled at the coaches who aren't Manning or Brady.
No, but what has Mac Jones done? Like, is Mac Jones even a legitimate NFL starter?
You used to love Mac Jones.
He made the Pro Bowl last year. But is,
yeah, but like,
but Mac Jones, at this point, Mac Jones may not be in their plans next year. Just like how, what's his name? Zach Wilson. The Jets are done with him. You don't bench the second overall pick and then say, no, we still believe in. This is not 1974. This idea of, hey, Terry Bradshaw, we're playing Joe Gillum ahead of you, but we still believe in you. No, sir. They're done with Zach Wilson. You do not bench the number two overall pick if you're not done with him. So, and Zach Wilson, you know why Zach Wilson got benched, right?
Why?
He didn't get benched because he sucked. He got benched because at the press conference, they asked if he felt any responsibility because the defense played so well, and he said no, and the defense and everybody in that locker room got mad at him,
yeah.
So the Jets, and this is why the Jets are a bad organization, the Jets bench their starting quarterback over what he said in a press conference. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Now, if somebody were to say, if Brady were to have a bad game for the Buccaneers and the defense were to play well, and they were to say, hey, you know,
is it
like,
your response? He would say 100%, like, absolutely.
Well, I don't mean that, but like the entrenched starter, if the entrenched starter, Tannehill, if somebody were, Tannehill didn't take any responsibility for that Bengals loss, and we were furious about it, Titans just completely looked the other way. The players, the coaches, everything. But if you don't have the standing in the organization, you can't do stuff like that. And I don't think Mac does, considering they've already benched him in a game this season. So, but it's a clown
show.
Did
they bench him or was he injured?
I mean, if you play.
I mean,
I didn't want to get everybody all mad at me today.
Probably erring on the side of caution rather than getting benched.
I didn't want to get everybody all mad at me. He started, and then he threw an interception. They took him out. Oh, yeah, you're too hurt to play now that you threw that interception right to the other team.
I'm just saying.
Aaron Rodgers was on the McAfee show, and I didn't cut this and, you know, didn't have a topic about it because their Titans are playing the Eagles and, you know, everything. Well, Aaron Rodgers was like talking about how, you know, if I can go, I go. That's why I play with a broken finger and I'm bad oblique and everything. You know, I believe in the NFL. If you can lace it up on Sunday, if you're the competitor and you believe in competitive greatness, you give it a go. And I thought to myself,
please.
I was like, I know somebody who didn't give it a go.
Oh, since when do we use Aaron Rodgers as the voice of wisdom?
Aaron Rodgers doesn't miss games now, other than when he broke his collarbone. 615-737-1025. A miracle last night. A miracle, I tell you. We'll get to that next. TriStar Moving, those are my official movers. I love TriStar Moving. Every time somebody asks me, hey, you got a moving company? I wonder if they're asking me that because they know that TriStar Moving is my official movers, and they're wondering if I can get them a deal or not. Every time I'm like, just get a bid from TriStar. Because if you do get a bid from TriStar, you will feel like you're getting a deal. And you'll get to know their sales staff. They're excellent. I mean, this is when I talk about TriStar Moving, I am telling you top to bottom. They are a five-star operation. That's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. Again, move with TriStar, just like I did. I love those guys. Get a bid. Moving's expensive, and you get 10% off when you tell them I sent you. So that's like getting a super deal. And so, again, give them a call, 615-640-1219, or nationalmoving.org/radio. They'll give you 10% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 10% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers.